सहनावत सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेव वशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादं शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणमूर्तये Freedom in relationship. How to discover freedom through relationship. How to make relationship a platform to discover inner freedom. Freedom is our nature. But there is something inhibiting the manifestation of that freedom. Our ego, our complexes, raga-dveshas, likes, dislikes. These are the factors that inhibit the manifestation of freedom. I cannot be free whenever any impulse takes over my mind. Anger is such an impulse. Jealousy is such an impulse. Greed, passion, all of these are strong impulses. When they appear in my mind, if I am not alert, then these impulses take over my mind. Up to some point, I may have freedom to extricate myself from the control of the impulse. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes the process of how the impulse builds up. The second chapter, Lord Krishna says, Dhyayato Vishyan Pumsah Sangasteshu Bhujayate. When a person dwells upon an object for a length of time, Sangaha, a liking for that object arises. You dwell upon something, either a like or a dislike, any one of them can arise. It is not that the object is likable or dislikable. That a like an object or dislike an object is not because of something which is there in the object. It is because of something which is there in my mind. Likes and dislikes are lodged in my own mind. And what a given object does is that it provokes or pushes the button of those likes and dislikes. It will look as though that object or that person created likes or dislikes in me. But in fact they are in there. Sometimes you see a person and we get upset. Sometimes you see a person and become happy. So person makes me happy, person makes me upset, so we think. Basically, potential for being happy or unhappy is already within us in terms of likes and dislikes. And what the person or object or situation does is to trigger the likes and dislikes by perhaps pushing some button, knowingly or unknowingly. So Lord Krishna says that when you dwell upon an object for a length of time, because there are dislikes and dislikes in your mind, thank you. Sangasteshu vajayate, therefore, sangha means a like, a fondness arises. The opposite also can happen. With a mind which is raga, when I think of something, raga will arise. With a mind which is dvesha, when I dwell upon something, dvesha will arise. So raga dvesha are there in me. It is not that the object is created, but then the dwelling upon the object triggers the raga and existing raga dvesha. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. When raga or dvesha, one of them, attachment or aversion, one of them arises, creates kama or the desire. Because attachment also wants to fulfill itself, the aversion also wants to fulfill itself. Raga also wants to fulfill itself because of the conclusion that when I fulfill my raga, I become happy, or when I fulfill my dvesha, I become happy. My conclusion has been that I become happy when I fulfill or satisfy my attachment and aversion, raga and dvesha. It's a wrong conclusion, but that is my conclusion. You know, why do I have that conclusion? Because I think that is my experience, that whenever my likes and dislikes are satisfied, I seem to feel happy. So my conclusion is that happiness comes by satisfying my raga and dvesha. Wrong conclusion. But based on this conclusion, we live our life. Therefore, when raga or dvesha arises in my mind, it results in desire. What's the desire? Desire that I want to fulfill raga dvesha. Raga means attachment. If some object or person is clear attachment, I want to have it, possess it, enjoy it. If some dvesha has created desire, then I am going to get rid of it. So desire to acquire and possess and enjoy something, or the desire to avoid or get rid of something. Some desire arises. Kamat krodho vijayate. It's quite likely that my desire may not be satisfied. This is the nature of my mind, to keep on dwelling upon something again and again. Therefore, a given thought builds up. Just one thought is not a problem. The krodha or anger is a result of build-up of thoughts. I want, build up into a strong desire. And if for some reason that strong desire is not fulfilled, the very same desire turns into anger. When I consider someone else responsible for the non-fulfillment of my desire, then that person, the object, becomes the object of my anger. So, stronger the desire, stronger is the impulse of anger. If I understand this process in my mind, if I'm alert, I realize that, look, a desire, raga has arisen, a desire has arisen, desire is building up. Up to a certain point, I have the control over the desire. I can say, no, desire, I'm not going to submit to you. But if I do not take steps within that limit, the desire is allowed to build up beyond a certain point, then it becomes difficult for me to control, then desire controls me, becomes a craving, and then forces me to fulfill itself. When desire is not fulfilled, that very desire turns into anger. Then with anger also we have the freedom. Anger is arising, it builds up into force. So if the anger is not built up into something very powerful, so long I can control it. It is very valuable to control that anger. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Shaknoti hai vyasodum prak sharira vimokshanat kama krodhot bhavam vegam sayuktah sa sukhi narah. Kama krodhot bhavam vegam. Vega means an impulse. Kama krodhot bhavam, an impulse that has arisen from kama, passion, or krodha, anger. Shaknoti, one who is able to contain that force of anger or desire or passion, he is a yogi, Lord Krishna says. Sayuktaha sa sukhi naraha. He is a yogi, he alone can be called a human being, he alone can be happy. Because the person who submits to his or her anger cannot even be called a human being. At that time the person becomes as good as an animal. You have seen in the, when we were small, from a neighborhood sometimes, I know that this husband was a very angry man. Every day he would get angry when he gets, you know, when his wife is serving food. He has some complaint always. Sometimes the fellow becomes so angry that he will take this plate. Then we find the utensils coming out of the house, you know. Then we know something is happening inside. So angry. So once anger crosses certain limit, you just cannot control. It controls you. Then you are as good as an animal. Not even nara. Sayuktaha sa sukhi naraha. Lord Krishna says, one who can contain the force of these passions of lust or anger or greed or jealousy or any of these negative emotions, who can contain, he is a yogi. And he is happy. And he can be called a human being. So if we have a value of not submitting to anger, if you have a value of not being controlled by anger, if you have a value of controlling the anger, then we can do it. Formerly our Swami used to give an example of an alcoholic. You ask an alcoholic, say, hey, you should give up alcohol, it's not good for you. You say, I can give any time, Swamiji. I can give any time. Swami says, he's not, the alcohol is talking, he's not talking. He cannot give up. Similarly also anger, he cannot give up. A person cannot give up the anger. So Swami always say, when people advise, give, don't get angry. Don't get angry. So that's a wrong advice. For the simple reason is that it is not this person who is getting angry, it is anger that is getting the person. I don't get angry, anger gets me. I have no choice. Like these two sadhus in Rishikesh winter, standing on the bank of the Ganges, they see a blanket floating, you know, in the water. So they were both of them shivering in cold. So one of them is bold. He plunges into water, cold water, swims and takes hold of that blanket. But doesn't come back. He's floating along with the blanket. So the other sadhu says, hey, give up that blanket. You are being swept in the current. You'll be drowned. He says, I'm not holding the blanket, it's holding on to me. It's not blanket. It is a Himalayan bear, you know, it has caught hold of him. So it's not we who get angry, it is anger that gets us. you become helpless. Therefore, say, tell somebody, don't get angry, is an advice that he cannot follow because he doesn't get angry. Anger gets him. Very difficult to become free from anger. All relationships will be ruined because of anger, really. And therefore, a value of becoming free from anger. Swami used to say, value for becoming free from alcohol, a value. Then you may join the Alcohol Anonymous and this, that and what. Some effort will be made. Similarly, also the value of becoming free from anger, then we can, in course of time, become free from anger. Why do we get angry? Why does a person get angry? Anger, as we said, is a result of unfulfilled desire, unfulfilled expectation, unfulfilled demand. We are basically very demanding people. We keep on making demands upon everybody around us. We want the whole world to fulfill our prescription, our agenda. While driving on the road, I was getting upset this morning. Look at this. Every time there is red light, every time red light, red light. So we were late, otherwise it would have been okay. There were 1500 red lights and everyone was red. The traffic lights, everyone was red. You get upset. These fellows don't know how to synchronize traffic lights, etc. What does it take for a person to get angry? Nothing. All that is required is a demand in my mind. A traffic light can make me angry because it does not fulfill my demand. Anything can make me angry because I have a demand from everything. I want to be comfortable. I want them to make me comfortable. What is my basic demand? My basic demand is, please make me comfortable. Please love me. Please accept me. A person who is angry outwardly will look like a very strong person. In fact, within himself, he is a very weak person. His heart is seeking something. Please love me. Please accept me. Some people are not loved for the whole of their life. In a home also, sometimes, the head of the family, the man, nature is such that nobody can relate to him. The wife cannot relate to him, the children cannot relate to him, nobody can relate to this fellow. Nobody avoids him. He's so upset with himself. Fortunately, grandchild comes. Grandchild is a phenomenon, which is a magical phenomenon. Because when this fellow had his own child, he had no time to play with his child or spend time with his child. Now he's retired, he has all the time to play with the grandchild. And grandchild creates, makes magic. That little fellow, little thing, completely transformed this fellow. Because the first time in his life, when he feels he is being loved by somebody. Because an infant loves you unconditionally. When the child becomes two, then slowly the conditions start. Then the terrible two comes. And then when they're 3-4 years old, then it's very difficult. At least in the West, very difficult. As I tell the story, I told this child, will you please switch off the TV? He right away says, do I have to? 4-year-old child. But as long as an infant, they're completely agreeable, most enjoyable. So this grandfather enjoys, first time he has received unconditional love. And he melts, such a hard-hearted person, This child is able to melt him. That is always so necessary, that's what we want. We want others to love us. We want others to accept us. We want others to approve us. Person may be big person, he may be wealthy person, an executive, a leader, all kinds of person, maybe outwardly. But inwardly, person can be as like a child, a helpless person, always seeking to be accepted, seeking to be loved, seeking to be approved. Unfortunately, people around that person don't understand this. They don't approve of him, don't accept him, don't love him, always feels rejected. It's most amazing how in same family, a person feels rejected. Swamiji, my wife and children are ganging up on me. So this is amazing how the mother and the children, they get, become one gang, you know, and gang up against the father. Generally, it's rarely that father and children gang up against mother. Mother and children, so that's what the father complains. This fellow is a big manager, he's a big CEO at home, he's nothing, you know, because he feels totally alienated. I told you that joke, you know. This fellow, his name is, you know, in India, this Rajputs and Kshatriyas' name Singh, you know, Shakti Singh. And so, somebody said, you are, the name is Singh, and Singh means Sim, means lion. What happens to you when you go home? He says, as soon as I reach home, when Durga takes hold over me, you know, because Durga rides a lion, you know. That is situation at home, outwardly, fellow may be anything. And therefore, it is so important to know that everybody is a needy person. Everybody needs love and affection and care and nurturing and acceptance and approval. And that's all a person needs. Even though demands, maybe million demands, cook this, don't cook that, sit here, whatever, millions of demands a person will make upon the spouse. Behind all those demands, there is one simple demand. Please love me. Please accept me. He thinks that his love only when she does what he wants. That's his definition of love, unfortunately. Our definition of being loved is what? When somebody does what I want them to do. Because I'm not capable of, you know, feeling the love otherwise. The only way I can feel love is when they do what I want, when they satisfy my likes and dislikes. So that is why we are demanding people. Some people make open demands. Some people don't make open demands, but inside demands are always there in every human being. And when the demands are not fulfilled, there is anger. If I have the freedom, I get angry upon somebody. Sometimes I don't have freedom. What can I do with my boss? Nothing. Then what happens to my anger? It turns into frustration inside. So when I cannot express my anger outside, it turns into frustration and sadness inside. That's how we become sad people. Therefore, it is important to understand the mechanism of anger, as to how anger is a result of unfulfilled demand. There is no reason for anger other than an unfulfilled demand or expectation. Unfortunately, all of our relationships are based on expectations. So it's natural to have expectation, is that right? Somebody said, so when we give this lecture about expectation, that you should drop them, what do you mean, Swami? Expectation is natural. The expectation of the spouse, expectation of children, expectation is natural. It's all right. Have expectation. But then be ready that your expectation may not be fulfilled. Expectation, if it is natural, okay. But be ready that your expectation may not be fulfilled. The other person may want to fulfill your expectation, but sometimes your expectation is such that the person cannot fulfill. Sometimes the other person wants to fulfill expectation, but are not capable of doing it sometimes. Sometimes not capable of doing, some not willing to do. And therefore, it is quite possible that your expectation may not be fulfilled. All right, if you think that you have the freedom to have expectation, have it. But then be ready that your expectation may not be fulfilled. You know what it means? Meaning you don't get angry. Expect not fulfilled anyway, but what is meant by being prepared that my expectation may not be fulfilled is that I say it's okay. Understandable. Our Swamiji says that every action that you perform is a calculated risk. Every endeavor is a calculated risk. Similarly, every expectation also is a calculated risk. Quite possible it may not be fulfilled. So in your expectation, ask yourself, am I ready for this expectation not being fulfilled? Am I ready? Can I handle myself if my expectation is not fulfilled? I cannot handle myself, then drop it. I can handle myself, then have it. So that you are ready for a condition when your expectation or your desire or your demand is not fulfilled. So, it's unfortunate that human being feels very limited, inadequate, incomplete, needy within himself or herself, and therefore constantly in need to satisfy that basic incompleteness or inadequacy, and that need manifests as different kinds of demands. And then both people are demanding people, the demands clash, and that's how conflicts arise. So conflict in relationship is the result of demands. No demands, no conflict. So what should we do? Let go of the demands. Letting go. So our Swami, you like that sign, you know, when you enter the highways, there is a sign called yield. Yield. He used to like that. He says, yield. That's all. Yield. Hold on to up to a point, then yield. Without feeling bad. We yield, all right, because there is no choice. Sometimes we are helpless and we yield. But that is not helplessness. Yielding not out of helplessness, yielding out of willingness. That my yielding to this person is important to that person. That will make this person happy. And I'm happy because that person would be happy. So value of making the other person happy, a very important value. Our basic value is making ourselves happy. Our basic agenda is making ourselves happy. Even a relationship, particularly between spouses, in every relationship really, but particularly between spouses, if the agenda changes, then each spouse has the agenda of making the other one happy. Swamiji, it's impossible to make this person happy. You cannot make them happy, regardless of what you do. Sometimes people feel frustrated. Say, just have patience. Try to understand why the person not happy. But I'm trying to do everything that the person wants. What's the want behind the want? What's the desire behind the desire? Let us understand the people. So an important thing is to understand each other. Where each one is coming from, what their basic background is, how they are raised, how they have grown, what kind of complexes they have, what kind of emotional baggage there is, what kind of emotional needs there are. Therefore, it is true, it is not easy to make somebody happy. Not easy at all. We can make somebody happy only when we can satisfy the likes and dislikes. Therefore, to understand the other person, understand the likes and dislikes, and the value of making the other person happy. A value of trying to fulfill the likes and dislikes. And your satisfaction of having tried. If you don't succeed, ask why you did not succeed. Try again. Don't succeed, ask why you did not. In course of time, you will learn about that person, understand the person. So this is how, if there is a value of nurturing and nourishing the relationship, value of making a relationship healthy, because then the relationship itself becomes a source of happiness. Understand that happiness does not come free. Happiness requires a lot of effort. Yes, perhaps happiness from sense pleasures seems to come free. Happiness from food seems to be effortless. Happiness from movie seems to be effortless. Happiness from those things seems to be from effortless. It is not effortless. Understand that you cannot enjoy even an object unless there is fructification of a past punya. You are not enjoying the cinema. You are enjoying the fructification of a past punya. Understand this. Only punya or virtuous action results in happiness, and papa or vicious action results in unhappiness. This is the rule. It's not an object, not a person, nothing gives me happiness. It is my punya that gives me happiness, and papa that gives me unhappiness. It's not so. Because same thing sometimes you don't like, you don't care. Same ice cream, same kulfi, same candy, same movie, same book, same music, same song, same person, same trail, same retreat center. Sometimes I enjoy it, sometimes I don't. If there was something inherent in this retreat center or trail, every time you come you should enjoy it. It's not so. Because you also need something. What do you need? You need the fructification of your past virtuous deed. Understand that every time we pick up a sensuous pleasure, meaning pleasure from any sense object, you are expending upon your wealth of punya karma. So you have to pay the price. The only thing that, therefore, you have to pay the price anyway. So either we pay the price in terms of punya karma and get exhausted and then become miserable, then we find that nothing makes us happy because we are exhausted of punya. Even from Svarga also you have to come back. From heaven also, kshina punya, marti lokam vishandi. In heaven also you can stay as long as the punya karma lasts. Moment that is exhausted, they send you down. They throw you out. So nothing comes free. Similarly, but there are two sources of happiness. One is happiness coming from sense pleasures, other is happiness coming from within. So Lord Krishna describes these two sources of happiness. Yattadagre vishamiva parinami amrutopamam tatsukam sattvikam proktam atma buddhi prasadajam. Yattadagre, and let me take another thing. So vishendriya sanyogam sanyogat yattadagre amrutopamam pariname vishamiva tat sukham rajasam smritam. What we call rajas is sukha or happiness, one of rajas, a binding happiness. What is binding happiness? That which feels very sweet in the beginning but turns out to be bitter at the end. What is that happiness? Pleasure coming from the sense objects. Vishendriya sanyoga, visha, sense object, indriya, sense organ. By contact of the two, the pleasure that arises, like the contact of the good food with my palate, contact of movie, contact of music, contact of whatever, that happiness is in the beginning very sweet. But later on, it turns out very bitter. You know why? Because it makes me addicted. Meaning that for the same quantum of happiness, I need more and more of that object. The rule there is, the rule of the law of diminishing return. You know the law of diminishing return? First Rasgulla makes you ecstatic. The second Rasgulla, okay. Third Rasgulla, little less. Fourth Rasgulla, even less. Seventh Rasgulla, it comes out along with other six. Because the capacity of an object to satisfy me keeps on diminishing. And therefore the same quantum of happiness, I need more and more of that. And we know all, when it comes to addiction like cigarettes, like smoking, like drinking, how when one cigarette used to give me the heavenly pleasure, then two, then three. In India, people eat this pan masala. You know pan masala? So in Gujarat now, they say that you cannot sell pan masala with nicotine. So, therefore they sell now pan masala without tobacco. You can separately buy tobacco. Look at that. Same fellow. Same pan wala will give you tobacco separately. So then they have this pan masala, their tobacco, their own mixture. Put it here. Even though they know that this results in cancer, still. What to talk of these poor fellows? The surgeons who perform surgery on the mouth, knowing that this is the result of pan masala, himself eats pan masala. So this is addiction. Begin with one, two, three. People take 25 pan masalas a day. A whole pack of cigarette a day. 10 cups of tea a day. Meaning for the same quantum of happiness, you need more. You become addicted. You become dependent. It is called binding happiness. Binds you. Turns out to be bitter at the end because you're bound, you're dependent, makes you helpless. Therefore, Vishendriya Sanyog, any happiness that comes from an object outside of myself is always like this. That it is a binding happiness. What's the other kind of happiness? That comes from within me. Yatta dagre vishamiva, Lord Krishna says, when you want to derive happiness from yourself, it's not easy. In the beginning, it tastes very bitter. At the end, it turns out to be very sweet. Yatta dagre vishamiva pariname amrutopamam. Agre, in the beginning, yatta vishamiva, that which is like poison, means bitter. Pariname amrutopamam, but it results into sweet, ambrosia. Tat sukham sattvikam proktam. That's called sukha, happiness, born of sattva. Atma buddhi prasadajam. That comes because of the cheerfulness or the purification of your own mind. So this is the agenda. Human beings should know that we have come here with an agenda. What's the agenda? Agenda to be happy. How can you be happy? You can be happy only by getting rid of your baggage of impurity. The ragas and dveshas stand for all the impurities of the mind. And more of them you let go, purer the mind becomes. Purer the mind becomes, more cheerful it becomes. Happiness wells up from within the mind. That's happiness that needs no effort at all. Like the pool of water, when you clean that water, becomes clean and transparent, and what is the bottom becomes very evident, and so, as our mind becomes cleaner and cleaner, purer and purer, the happiness which is the very adhisthanam substratum becomes automatic and no effort is required. It's called effortless happiness. My own self becomes favorable to me. Lord Krishna says, Atmaiva hyatmano bandhu, Atmaiva ripuratmana. Your own self can be your bandhu, meaning your benefactor, or your own self can be your adversary, your enemy. My own self can give me happiness, my own self can give me happiness. Understand that today also, what gives me happiness is myself, what gives unhappiness is also myself. Spouse doesn't give me any happiness, children don't give unhappiness, the world does not give unhappiness. Who gives unhappiness to me? My own self. Which self? The mind that is under the control of raga and dveshas. Bandhuratma atmanastasya yenatma yivatmana jitah anatmanastu shatrutve varteta atmeva shatruvata. Lord Krishna says, one who has mastered his mind, one who has made his mind free from raga and dveshas, here for him the mind is his friend, benefactor. On the other hand, the mind that is in control of raga, dvesha or kama, krodha is a mind that is like an enemy. So we don't need to go out to be happy, nor do we need to go out to be unhappy. We are alone enough to make ourselves happy or unhappy. Therefore, if you understand that the process of our life should be to progressively get rid of these raga dveshas, not accumulate them. And by satisfying my raga dveshas, I'm accumulating them, not getting rid of them. Therefore, a value of not satisfying the raga dveshas, a value of letting go, of dropping, of giving up. And for that, a relationship becomes an excellent opportunity. Karma is an opportunity, but relationship becomes an excellent opportunity. So Lord Krishna teaches Karma Yoga. What is Karma Yoga? Performing karma, the duty, as an offering to the Lord. That is a means of self-purification. Where is the Lord? Your spouse is the Lord. Perform your action as an offering to the other person. What is meant by offering? With a desire to make that person happy. You see, while performing an action, they do the sankalpa, you know. Mamopatta, samasta, duritakshayadvara, Shri Parameshwara Preetyartham. That's what they say. Shri Parameshwara Preetyartham. May the Lord be pleased by this action. Or that I am performing this action for pleasing the Lord. Now, where to find the Lord? Right in front of me is the Lord. A tough Lord, maybe. That Lord is easy. That one, you know, in a murti is easy. That's why we find puja very easy. In a puja altar, it's easy to please that Lord. Because he's always smiling. That's one good thing about our all devatas. They're always smiling. And so whatever you offer, they're always smiling. You offer them food, always smiling he takes. Even if you forgot the salt, he doesn't mind. Salt is bit twice, no problem. But to please a live Lord is very difficult. That live Lord demands that, why is the salt more, why is the live? So easy to please this Lord. That is why we have puja. At least a practice ground where we can please somebody. And they said last night also that here is a place where I know that I am safe. I am accepted. Because he is not going to reject me. With the world we are never sure. We are afraid that we may be rejected. So this is a good relationship. What? With the Lord in puja. But same thing then. Just as you do all sorts of things for worshipping or pleasing that little Lord Krishna. In Gujarat, you know, this Lord Krishna, child Krishna's worship is very, very, very common or, you know, very popular. Pushtimarga Vaishnavas. And other Vaishnavas also, they worship child, God, child Lord Krishna. You can fondle him, you can do what you want. That's easy. But at least then we can put it into practice. So what you do during puja, put into practice. The Lord in front of me. May this action please this Lord. But understand that even for this devata also, you have to do what the devata likes. This little Lord Krishna does not like a lot of bath because he will catch cold. So he just, Lord Shiva doesn't mind. So Abhishek Priya Shiva. Shiva keep on doing Abhishek hours together, he doesn't mind. Don't do that with Lord Krishna, little one. You know, he just give him a little bath, that's all. He will catch cold, his child. But Lord Shiva doesn't want any ornaments. But this fellow wants ornaments. And we keep on giving nice ornaments, nice ornaments, etc. Meaning that you must know the likes and dislikes of Devata also. And do what they like. So Payasa Anna Priya, the Devi is very fond of Payasa. Lord Shiva may form a Paras Laddu. Ganesha may form a Modakam. Lord Krishna is fond of makkhan, misri, butter. So you do that. Similarly, to please other person, you have to do what the person likes. Which may not be what you like. Therefore, that exercise automatically requires you to slowly let go of likes and dislikes. The toughest thing is letting go of our likes and dislikes. We so dearly love them. Even though they are our enemies, the fellows who make me most miserable are my likes and dislikes. But I love them. I hold on to them. I nurture them. Nourish them. In fact, I go to such an extent that to satisfy my likes and dislikes, I give up the relationship. How stupid I am. How stupid people are. That to satisfy their ego, the let go relationship is a very valuable thing. Ego is the most, the source of all misery that I want to always sustain and retain and nurture and nourish. Like a fire, keep on feeding it with butter. So when people realize, when there is a conflict, if you realize that it's ego that is creating conflict, my demands that are creating conflicts, my likes and dislikes are creating conflict. If you value that, my relationship is more important than myself. If my relationship is more important than myself and my ego, means my demands, means my likes and dislikes. If I understand the simple reality of life, then for nurturing the relationship, I will be willing to let go of my demands. And nobody likes demands to be placed on them. We don't like people making demands upon ourselves. Everybody wants to be accepted as they are. Everybody, that's why we feel very happy with saintly people. Because they're non-demanding people. They don't make any demands upon us. So when we are in their presence, we feel very comfortable. Because we feel accepted. We feel loved. That's what everybody wants. We can also become saint by letting go of these demands. So our Swami says, in a little booklet called Personnel Management, personnel management, relating to other people, is whenever anybody comes before you, make that person feel elevated in your presence. Make that person feel elevated in your presence. Mean that you become so humble and you elevate that person, feels, even a small child feels elevated in your presence. That's a way to relate to other people, to elevate them, make them feel accepted, make them feel understood. Everybody wants to be understood. They want to be accepted. And that's all the simple demand there is. Although that requirement of being understood or accepted may come out in different kinds of demands, which is what we reject. But if you realize that demand behind all the demand is simply being accepted. Thus being sympathetic to other person. In relationships, two values are very important. One value is ahimsa, other value is kshama. Kshama means accommodation. In Swamiji's words, kshama means accommodation. Kshama is usually translated as forgiveness. But forgiveness is a very misunderstood word. When you forgive somebody, we think that you have done a favor to that person. Which is not what forgiveness means. Forgiveness doesn't mean that we are doing favor to that person. But that was Swamiji preferred to translate kshama as accommodation. Accommodate. Accommodate where? In your heart. How do you accommodate? By becoming larger than what you are. As I am, the conflict is because I am not able to accommodate that person as I am. Why? Because I don't accept that person. Why? Because the person has all these problems. Why the person has so many faults? So I do not accept the person because of nature and because of this, because of a variety of things. Therefore, how to solve the problem? By becoming bigger than the problem. Meaning that, what is accommodation? By becoming larger than what we are. More large-hearted than what we are. If you value for that person, then we'll be able to accommodate their idiosyncrasies, their deficiencies, their defects. Sometimes people don't know how to cook well. Okay, now don't make an issue every day. Every day an issue. You don't know how to cook, you don't know that. Every day. This fellow has a problem in shopping. Every day she takes him to task, you know. You know what husband and wife do right in the beginning? I've seen this. What they do is they want to control the other person, spouse. So this young couple got married. And this poor man's job was to buy shopping vegetables. In the olden days, you know, you go to shop market and buy vegetables. So wife gives a list, bring, you know, okra and this, and poor fellow brings. As soon as she brings, then she says, "What is this? Okra? This is not tender. They're all, you know, ripe okra. This is not the way. Eggplant? Don't you know how to buy eggplant?" This fellow is perspiring. He becomes so nervous, you know, and do this 2-3 times, he can control him for the whole of his life. That's what that fellow will do to her. "Oh, you don't know how to kishre? You don't can do this? You cannot, that's all." So this is how we want to control other people. We think that we are happy when we can control other people. No. We are not happy when we control. We are not happy when we are controlled. The control game should not be there at all. Game should be one of accommodation. Then only there is a possibility of love. It is love, the mutual acceptance, mutual respect, and mutual love that should form the basis of a relationship, and not control, not demand. Therefore, willingness to drop my demand. When I do not like a person, you know what it means? It means that the person is not able to fulfill some demands that I have. So, either I reject the person or I let go of my demands. What people do? They reject the person. What we should do is to let go of the demands. Because nobody is perfect. Nobody in the world is. We are not perfect. Other people also are not perfect. Everybody has imperfections. Everybody has deficiencies. Everybody has defects. Everybody has problems. But we cannot reject a person because of defect or a problem. When I remember an experience that an episode. When we were, you know, in the vacation, we used to go to our uncle's place, maternal uncle's place. And in summer, in Ahmedabad, there will be mangoes and, you know, enjoy those things. There was a huge mango like that. I was just, you know, small. That mango was spoiled. Its one corner was spoiled. I took the mango and threw away the whole mango. My uncle saw this. He said, don't do this. You remove that portion. The whole mango is good. Just remove that portion. Don't reject the whole mango for the sake of that little. Don't reject the whole person because of some problem here. Don't throw the baby along with bathwater. There is no person who is perfect. Nobody doesn't have difficulties. Nobody doesn't have imperfections or defects. Everybody has blemishes. They have. Like, all right. Accept the person with that. When you accept a rose, you accept it with the thorns. There's no choice. And therefore, when they get married, we tell them, look, you are married to the whole package. Right now you know only one aspect, because when they are friends and when they are dating and stuff like that, they always reveal some aspect of themselves. They don't reveal everything. Only when you live together, then slowly and slowly come close to you, then you reveal each other, to each other, and then the real things come out, and you say, what? You're snowy, you're like this, you're like that. A lot of things come out, which you formerly did not know. I did not bargain for this, I did not expect this, but that's what it is. So whole package, including all the baggage, we should know that. And therefore, be sympathetic to the difficulty the other person has. And thus, accommodation, being large-hearted. You know, what happens is, when we accommodate somebody, when we accept somebody as they are, then they make a note of that, they appreciate that. The other person appreciates that, this person has even accepted me with my defect. Then the person also will want to please me. Then they will want to give up that thing and change themselves. Normally what happens, I demand that you change to make me happy. Each one demands from the other. If you demand change, it does not happen. But create a condition when the other person is motivated to change. A change can come only if I am motivated to change, not otherwise. So if you want the other person to change, create a condition. When the other person feels accepted, feels motivated, then that person sees that I am doing what I can. Other person also will want to do what they can. They will want to change. So thus, this whole process becomes a process of growing. Growing in what? Large-heartedness. When can I grow? When I let go of my demands, my likes and dislikes. Growing, maturing, gaining happiness, inner happiness. Every step of accommodation makes you happy. So kshama means accommodating the other person as the person is. As best as possible, do not make demands upon the other person to change. And seek to accept the person as the person is. And hopefully in course of time, the other person may want to change. Recognizing that we are also not perfect, other person accepting us also with all our limitations. So kshama, forgiveness, or accommodation is an extremely important value in every relationship. Closer the relationship is, more kshama is needed. Because closer you are, more likely you are to hurt each other. Closer a person is, more expectations there are. And more expectations there are, more likelihood of expectation not being fulfilled, and therefore more likelihood of being hurt. So we'll find out in our life who hurts us the most, the person who is closest to us. Therefore, that is where kshama is most needed. What is kshama? Accepting the other person as a person is, with their own limitations, with their own idiosyncrasies, with whatever kind of defects they have, attempting to accommodate. Vakshama or accommodation. Other values are ahimsa, non-violence, a value of not
hurting the people.
If I cannot help the people,
at least I wish not to hurt the person.
Help ever, hurt never. That's the sutra. Help ever, hurt never. But even if I cannot help, I should have value of not hurting the other person. How do you do that? Lord Krishna gives a very nice method. Sixth chapter, Lord Krishna says, Atma upamyena sarvatra samam pasyati yojana sukham vayadiva dukham sayogi paramomatah. Atma upamyena. One who places himself or herself as the standard of comparison. Meaning that one who places oneself in the position of other. And then ask this question, how would I like to be treated if I was in that position? And try to treat that person in that manner. That's called non-violence. Because I never hurt myself. I would never want to hurt myself. I never want to violate myself. So treat others, at least treat your close people, if not the whole world. Start with here. Treat them as you treat yourself. How do I treat myself? I always want to make myself happy. I never want to make myself unhappy. Have that value. Not possible, to, easy to do, but have a value. That I should not hurt the other person. If the other person hurts me, I should have kshama. On my part, no hurt. And hurt mostly takes place by words, by the way. Speech is the worst place, worst means of hurting others. Physically also people may hurt each other, but that may not be so in the civilized society. The physical hurt is of the worst kind of hurt. And most demeaning, most insulting. Understand that anger actually is a very damaging thing. When I repeatedly get angry upon somebody, it damages the self-image of that person. Particularly if I'm an important person in the life, like I'm a parent, I'm a spouse, an important person whose acceptance is important. If you get angry upon our children, this is a very, very damaging thing. Because the parent is very important in the life of the child. And acceptance of parent is extremely important. The parent keeps on getting angry, keeps on rejecting, keeps on criticizing. The child develops complexes that I'm no good. I'm only not worthy. Think that I'm not worthy. Loses self-worth. So also getting angry upon spouse, getting angry upon others is very damaging. It damages us and damages others. So, a value for non-violence, which will require me to keep my anger under check, keep my words under check. So Lord Krishna gives a very nice measuring rod of what you should look for before you utter any word. Anudvegaram vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat svadhyaya vyasanam cheva vāṅvayam tapocchate. Lord Krishna says, it is tapa or austerity at the level of the speech. Anudvegakaram vākyam. Make sure that a vākya or your words does not create udvega, does not perturb another person. Satyam, what you speak, should be truthful. Priyam, the truth also, should be spoken in a pleasant manner. Hitam, should be spoken only when it is meaningful, it is helpful, it does something good. So, remaining free from violence, and when we are violated, then kshama. Ahimsa and kshama, two most important values in relationships. In any relationship, but particularly close relationships, where you cannot create a distance. In other some relation you can create a distance. Spouses can't create a distance. Parents and children cannot create distance. And so ahimsa and kshama become very important values in our relationships. Letting go of the demands, very important value.
Making other person happy, very important value. You know why? Because I should know that in that process I become, make myself happy. I grow in my large-heartedness. I grow in my inner purity. I grow in my inner happiness. And that's how life becomes a process of learning and growing, which is what the purpose of human existence is to learn, and that's called living. Living is learning and growing, and the relationship can become an excellent ground for learning and growing. Okay, we'll stop here and open for questions and answers.
I had a lecture yesterday in the temple.